Welcome to The Hub. I'm TJ Holmes, and this is The TJ Holmes Show. Hey, folks, this is TJ Holmes. Black folks can't swim, won't swim, scared to swim, and black women don't want to get their hair wet. Welcome to The TJ Holmes Show. You've heard it all before. Right, all those stereotypes about black people and swimming. It comes off as ignorant. It's offensive sometimes. I guess you can even go as far as calling it racist, depending on how it comes at you. However, there are actually some statistics. There's some history to back up some of the claims out there about black people and swimming. Now, I'm not saying it justifies anything that could be offensive or racist, but there are stats and there's history out there to some of these things. Now, why? This is kind of random. Why is this on my mind in the first place? We're coming up on the end of summer. The best time to be talking about kids and swimming maybe would have been at the beginning of the summer. We're at the point now, kids are coming out of the pool, they're going back to school. True. The topic came to mind actually pretty randomly. I didn't plan on talking about this, but I was on a recent trip to Cape Cod. That sounds nice and fancy, but I wasn't there vacationing. I was there for work. I was sent there. To cover a story. I was there for Good Morning America. The story is a guy had been bitten by a shark. He was out there swimming. A 61-year-old guy ended up in the hospital. He had a bite to his torso, a bite to his hip. He'd been swimming just off Cape Cod, about 30 yards offshore. Now, he survived. And here's the thing about Cape Cod. Sharks show up in force every single summer. This is a surprise to nobody that there was a shark in those waters. This has been going on the past 10 years. Or so, what's happened is that they've put things in place to protect the seal population. So over the past couple of decades, the seal population has ballooned in this area. So the sharks got the memo, and they actually know to come back for the buffet every summer. And the reason we know the sharks are there and that they come back is because scientists have been tagging them, and they track them. They've been doing this the past 5 years. They actually know the same sharks are coming back to the same place every summer because of these seals, the same sharks, and they're returning by the hundreds. So yes, you're hearing this correctly. Sharks and human beings are vacationing in Cape Cod at the same time in huge numbers every year. Human beings know the sharks are there, and they keep getting in the damn water. This shark encounter that is in Cape Cod was the first one they've had since 2012 in which somebody was injured. So that's a good stretch, given how many sharks are in the water and given how many people go to Cape Cod. But still, the experts tell you that it's only a matter of when, not if, somebody's actually going to get killed in the waters off Cape Cod by a shark. It's a matter of when, not if. Now, again, I covered this story, covered it just fine on television, gave all the facts of the story, who, what, when, why, how, you know. But afterwards, I posted a picture on social media. I posted a picture of myself standing on the beach in Cape Cod when I was reporting. A producer that I had there just snapped a photo of me in front of the camera while I was on live television. So I posted that picture, and with it I wrote this, and I quote, "What I was trying to say was, stay out of the water." And I put an exclamation point. And that was my media post, my social media post. Now, a lot of folks that I heard from took this as a nod, nod, wink, wink to black folks who are, I mean, come on, let's face it. Are we really the victims of shark bites? We're not because, well, some of us ain't crazy enough to get into the water in the first place. And some of us maybe don't want to be in the water. And then when I kind of got this reaction to my media post, I just started paying attention and I was looking around Cape Cod. And I was in the several beach towns during the day, and the whole time I was there, I only saw one black person, and she happened to be driving a taxi. Now, it shouldn't be necessarily surprising to anybody, no shock, that there aren't a lot of black people maybe in Massachusetts or in particular on the beaches of Cape Cod. Not a surprise you don't see a lot of black people. My point is I'm only giving you this backstory to tell you why the subject of black people and swimming came to mind in the first place, and that's why. So, of course, it's not true that black people don't swim and that black people can't swim. Of course, that's not true. We like going to beaches as well. So yes, people say that or just have this general idea that black people don't want to swim or can't swim. No, of course, that's not true. But this is true. 64% of black children in this country can't swim. 64% of black kids in this country have what's either called little or no swimming skills. Compare that to 40% of white kids that can't swim. Now, I guess maybe we shouldn't see that as a big deal, right? There's a disparity there. More white kids can swim than black kids. Okay, by a pretty good percentage. But here's the problem. What that translates into is that black kids dying by drowning, they're dying by drowning at a rate 5.5 times higher than white kids. That's a problem. We can actually save black kids' lives if we teach more of our kids to swim. Now, that sounds like a simple thing to do, but there is a history here that is complex. We actually had, for a time, we had black people in this country who were beaten for trying to swim, for trying to use community pools. Community pools really took off in this country by the thousands, really, 50, 60 years ago. So you had communities starting to put in these pools. So this idea of recreational swimming really kind of took off. And just like so many other things, swimming became a segregated event. Black people, however, in this particular case, we weren't actually given an opportunity to, you go swim there, white people swim here. Black people were just denied access to pools. There was no other pool necessarily to go to. Some pools started being built in black neighborhoods, but they were essentially splash pools. You couldn't learn to swim. You just stand up and mess around a little bit. So you had a whole generation of kids. As swimming and recreational swimming is taking off in this country, black people were missing out and denied access to pools. And this happened through intimidation. They were beaten. They had things thrown at them. And again, the country is taking off and we're being left behind, just like in so many other areas. And this is not one, right? We don't think about this in the civil rights movement and how we were getting left behind. Yeah, swimming was one of them, and that's still impacting us to this day. This is a basic life-saving skill to be able to swim. But early on, years ago, it became ingrained in our culture. Swimming wasn't something that was important. It wasn't something that was possible. It wasn't something that we wanted. And this manifested itself over time into what we still see today. Fears about swimming. Fears about water. Right? Swimming became a white sport. It was a white thing. Something for them, not for us. And that's something we actually hand down to our kids. If parents right now don't know how to swim, it's likely that children don't know how to swim either. This was actually one of the findings in a study that was commissioned by USA Swimming. Some parents responded that the reason they don't put their kids into swimming lessons is because they fear their kids might drown or get injured while learning to swim. Do you hear that? They don't want their kids to drown learning how to do the very thing that can prevent them from drowning. A fear of water. So you got history here. You got racism. You couple that with the fear of drowning that exists today. There's a lack of access to pools. Swimming lessons in a lot of places ain't cheap. And you don't see a lot of people. We put all that stuff together and you end up not seeing a lot of people that look like us. Also, competing in water sports, right? So yes, again, go down that list. You got history, you got racism, you have fear of drowning, you have lack of access to pools, swimming lessons can be unaffordable, and you don't see a lot of people that look like us competing in water sports, right? So kids don't see themselves doing it, so they don't aspire, they don't think about it. So you put all those things together, and that leaves us with this disparity in numbers where 64% of black kids can't swim and 40% of white kids can't swim. That's a huge disparity. Look, we don't see a lot of people look like us in water sports, in particular, yes, swimming. And yes, I was there in Rio. I was in Brazil when Simone Manuel became the first African-American woman to win an individual gold medal in swimming. Yes, we propped her up. We celebrated her. She got all of that press, and I was dying to meet her. She came to our studio there. I was there. We had a mini Good Morning America, a whole studio that was set up there, and all the athletes would come by and do interviews, and I couldn't wait to see her the next morning. And she came in with her gold medal, and to see her and to be able to celebrate her, the first, right? The first African-American woman to ever win an individual gold medal in swimming happened in 2016. This just happened. Now, that is worth celebrating. That was very exciting, and we can prop her up, and you think maybe something is different going on. Maybe we're, right? Maybe things are changing in terms of diversity in swimming in this country. But just 3 out of the 45 members of the U.S. Olympic swim team in Brazil were black. Yes, that's awesome. Simone Manuel, first black woman to win an individual gold medal in swimming for the U.S. But let's come back to reality for a moment. Just 3 of the 45 members of the U.S. Olympic swim team in Brazil were black. Meanwhile, 12 out of 12 members of the USA basketball team were black. So, to that point, kids aren't coming up seeing athletes that look like them in a pool. They see them on a basketball court, a football field. They don't even see them on the baseball diamond anymore. But that's often what kids end up aspiring to and why they want to go into certain sports. And as kids don't see themselves represented, right, the small numbers in swimming, also get this, there is only one, this is still head-scratching, there's only one HBCU that has a swim team. One. Out of 100-plus HBCUs in this country, only one has a swim team. That one is Howard University. There used to be two. That was a couple years ago. There was a swim team, the women's swim team at North Carolina A&T. I think it was North Carolina A&T. The swim team, the women's swim team there, disbanded a couple years ago. That was in 2016. And in doing so, it made Howard the only HBCU, the only one that has an actual swim team. So it's a tough sell, right? Now, something else that was in that study that was commissioned by USA Swimming, the researcher expressed a bit of surprise at just how many black women admitted that, yes, hair is an issue when it comes to swimming. A significantly greater number of black women than white women said that they don't swim because they're concerned about chemicals in pools damaging their hair, or they were concerned about having to get their hair done again. I get it. I mean, look, I understand, sisters. And I say I understand not just because I've been around black women my whole life, but because I am in charge of the hair of a little black woman right now. Yes, my 5-year-old daughter, Sabine, has this head full of thick, curly stuff on top of her head. Her hair is nuts, and it takes constant care. It's sandy blonde. It's got these blonde highlights on the end. Yeah, she's black. I know. She's still black. Trust me. She's never had a haircut before. But I am the one that's solely responsible for her hair. And I'm in love with her hair. Right? I don't want anybody else to touch it. She's never had a haircut. And I take care of it. So I have to wash it, do hair essentially, 2 or 3 times a week. And she takes swim lessons every Saturday. And that damn swim cap every Saturday is holding on for dear life. Her hair is so long, it's so thick, and it's hard to get the hair under there. So you put the swim cap on, and then a few minutes into her swim lesson with her coach, the coach is messing with the swim cap. It's not staying on right. It's moving. And then her hair ends up getting wet. And then there are other times she actually wants to swim without a swim cap. She just wants, like the other kids, the white kids, they just pull their hair back in a ponytail and swim. And every time she does it, I just freak out because I know what that means, right? That means daddy's got to work hard and harder on the hair because it got wet. And so that's what I mean. I know what sisters are going through. It's not my hair, but, well, kind of it is my hair, my daughter's hair. I know folks don't want to get the hair wet. And but for my daughter, I don't want to put it in her mind so early on. I don't want to train her. No, don't get your hair wet. I mean, I don't want her to be afraid to go out in the rain. I don't want her to think about her hair so much. Like, that's such an issue. Just enjoy it. Enjoy life. Enjoy being natural. And some days it might be dry and whatever. So I don't want to put that in her head. So I'm trying not to make sure I'm trying to make sure to find some decent balance to where I'm not always telling her to protect her hair from water at all costs. However, I hate it when she gets her hair wet. Oh, I hate it. Oh, I just hate it. Because that means I got more work to do. And yes, researchers have now found that that, in fact, is a factor in us swimming. So get this, though. Robert and Deborah Jones. This is about 30 years ago. Man by the name of Robert, his wife Deborah. Robert and Deborah Jones. They had a 5-year-old son. And he was on a ride at a water park in Pennsylvania. He got to the end of that ride at this water park, and he went into this pool of water. He ends up flipping upside down, couldn't get himself out of the situation because he didn't know how to swim. He couldn't save himself, and he went down. Now, he was pulled out of that water eventually, out. He was out of it, and he was given CPR. They were able to resuscitate that kid. Again, he was 5 years old. The son of Robert and Deborah Jones. Now, soon after, Robert and Deborah decided to put their son, that 5-year-old son that almost drowned, they decided to put him in swim lessons. Right? That scared the hell out of them, and why wouldn't it? They almost lost their child. So Robert and Deborah put their son in swim lessons almost immediately after he almost drowned in a water park at 5 years old. Their son, Cullen Jones, went on to win 4 medals at the Olympics, including at the 2012 Olympics in London, and is the first African-American to ever hold a world record in swimming. So it worked out. Now, Cullen these days is a brother I got to spend some time with right after the Olympics in 2012, and just a delight to be around. And these days, and I'm glad it's worked out, because you're around people and you think it's real, and you think they're authentic and they're good folks. And he is now spending a lot of his time as a part of a program that's called Make a Splash. It's the Make a Splash Initiative. And what he does now is a program with USA Swimming. He travels around the country, and they provide free swim lessons. It's called Make a Splash. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to Google Make a Splash. Again, Make a Splash. The first result is going to be their website, their main website for USA Swimming. They have a page for Make a Splash. Click on that page. Then when you get to the website, the home page for Make a Splash, scroll down, and in the middle, as you scroll down, there's going to be a place for you to type in your zip code to find swim lessons, many of them free, that are offered near you. This is something that Cullen Jones himself has called an epidemic of drowning in the country. And it doesn't have to happen. There are other times that things, right, there are accidents and whatnot. Even people that know how to swim end up drowning out in the ocean or something. These rip currents and things that pull them under. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about kids who just get in a situation in water, in a backyard, in a lake, or whatever, and can't get themselves out of it because they can't swim. That does not have to happen. Because even though I say 64% of black children in this country can't swim, 40% of white kids in this country can't swim, but still, you know what? Most of those folks still plan on being in or near water. Even though folks can't swim, they still go in water or near water. So it's not like they're eliminating the danger. Oh, I can't swim. It's no big deal. I'm not going to be around water. These same folks still go around water. This is something, again, Cullen Jones, who became an Olympic medalist after almost drowning at the age of 5, and his black parents got his black butt into swim lessons. He became an Olympic champion. And he is out there pushing this and making this initiative. As he says, this is an epidemic and it doesn't have to happen. We can actually save some kids' lives. It doesn't matter if we're not losing thousands and thousands of kids every year. If we lose two kids, one kid, to drowning, and the kid didn't learn to swim because of fear, of history, of hair, of access to a pool, of not being afforded swim lessons, that's something we can do something about. So again, it's Make a Splash. Google that. Click on the Make a Splash website. Scroll down on their homepage. Put in your zip code. Find lessons near you. We worry about so much with our kids. We got so much to worry about. As I'm talking to you now, I just dropped my daughter off at camp, right? And they're going to the park to do some water play today. I'm worried every time she is not in my sight. She's got to walk down the street with her teachers. She's got to go to a park where there are strangers. Got to make sure or worry that those teachers are going to keep an eye on her. And somebody's going to snatch her. She's not going to get hurt. She's not going to fall and break something. We worry about everything with our kids. We worry about where they go, who they hang out with, what they eat, what they watch on their iPad, who they're talking to. We got all this to worry about. Can we check one thing off the list? You shouldn't have to worry about them drowning because they can't swim. Now, we need to continue to work to shrink those numbers, to close those gaps. And in doing so, maybe we might produce a few more Black Olympians in the process. All right, folks. You've been listening to the TJ Holmes Show. This is TJ Holmes. We'll see y'all soon.
Thank you for joining me in the Hub. Let me know what you think. You can follow me on Twitter at TJ Holmes and on Instagram at Official TJ Holmes. We'll see you next time.